ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, Chapter 13, entitled Rahugana, Converses with Jada Bharat, Text 8. Lan kvachit kantaka sharkarangrir Nagaru rukshur vimana ivaste पदे पदे भ्यंतरवहनिनार्दितः कौटुंबिकः क्रुध्यति वै जनाय चल। ट्रांसलेशन एंड प्रपोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्री भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद। समटाइम्स द मर्चेंट इन द फॉरेस्ट wants to climb the hills and mountains, but due to insufficient footwear, his feet are pricked by small stone fragments and by thorns on the mountain. Being pricked by them, he becomes very aggrieved. Sometimes a person who is very attached to his family becomes overwhelmed with hunger, and due to his miserable condition, he becomes furious with his family members. Purport. The ambitious conditioned soul wants to be very happy in this material world with his family, but is compared to a traveler who in the forest, who desires to climb a hill full of thorns and small stones. As stated in the previous verse, the happiness derived from society, friendship and love is like a drop of water in the scorching heat of the desert. One may want to become very great and powerful in society, but this is like attempting to climb a hill full of thorns. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur compares one's family to high mountains. Becoming happy in their association is like a hungry man's endeavoring to climb a mountain full of thorns. Almost 99.9% of the population is unhappy in family life, despite all the attempts being made to satisfy the family members. In the Western countries, due to the dissatisfaction of the family members, there is actually no family life. There are many cases of divorce, and out of dissatisfaction, the children leave the protection of their parents. Especially in this age of Kali, family life is being reduced. Everyone is becoming self-centered because that is the law of nature. Even if one has sufficient money to maintain a family, the situation is such that no one is happy in family life. Consequently, according to the Varnashrama institution, one has to retire from family life in middle age. Panchashordham vanam brajet. One should voluntarily retire from family life at the age of 50 and go to Vrindavan or a forest. This is recommended by Srila Prahlad Maharaj, 755 Bhagavatam. Tat sadhu manye asuravarya dehinam sada samudvigna dhiyam asadgrahat hitvatma patam grahamandhakupam vanam gato yad harimashrayet. There is no benefit in transferring from one forest to another. One must go to the Vrindavan forest and take shelter of Govinda. That will make one happy. The International Society for Krishna Consciousness is therefore constructing a Krishna Balaram temple to invite its members as well as outsiders to come and live peacefully in a spiritual atmosphere. That will help one become elevated to the transcendental world and return home back to Godhead. Another sentence in this verse is very significant. Kautumbikaha krudhyati vai janaya. When one's mind is disturbed in so many ways, he satisfies himself by becoming angry with his poor wife and children. The wife and children are naturally dependent on the father. But the father, being unable to maintain the family properly, becomes mentally distressed and therefore chastises the family members unnecessarily. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 12:2-9, Achinna Dara Dravina Yasyanti Girikananam. Being disgusted with family life, one separates from the family by divorce or some other means. If one has to separate, why not separate willingly? Systematic separation is better than forced separation. Forced separation cannot make anyone happy. But by mutual consent or by the Vedic arrangement, one must separate from his family affairs at a certain age and fully depend on Krishna. This makes one's life successful. So, Jadbharat is continuing his instruction to Maharaj Rahugana about the nature of this material existence. And he is quite graphic in his description of a person who wants to disprove or act independent of the purpose of material existence. This material existence is specifically designed by the Lord to frustrate the desire to lord it over material nature, which is why the living entity has been sent here, and this has been labeled as Dukkhalayam Ashashvatam, a place of misery, and even that relief for some time is also temporary. And the whole idea or success of this system that Krishna has established is to give up the idea of trying to become independent from the will of the Lord and actually surrender to Him and become dependent on Him and become happy. The material disease, Prabhupada writes in one purport in Bhagavatam, is due to thinking of becoming independent of everything, but cruel material nature does not allow us. The false attempt to become independent of the stringent laws of nature is known as material advancement of experimental knowledge. Very perfectly coined, chosen words which very comprehensively describe the nature of a materialistic person. The false attempt to become independent of the stringent laws of nature is known as material advancement of experimental knowledge. What to speak of an ordinary person having a little domain of his own family and trying in that to adjust the situation to become happy permanently. Even great materialistic great materialists like Hiranyakashipu, who practically conquered the whole universe and had perfectly kept it under his control, or at least he thought so. Today, the scientists, with some little adjustments, are able to change the material environment against the law of nature. If it is very hot outside, within a room he creates air-conditioned atmosphere. So at least within a limited environment, he controls the situation and thinks that I'm going to be happy. Sometimes he may do it within his vehicle. Or sometimes somebody do it the whole building, centrally air conditioned. So, his house, his vehicle, his office place, wherever he wants to go, is all literally want to live in an atmosphere which is against that of the nature. Outside it is hot. He wants to make it cool. But Hiranyakashipu, he was so technologically advanced that he didn't need an air conditioner. He did not have this pressing of a button. He was so refined, he controlled all the demigods in charge of those. And he did not have a remote. He just lifted his eyebrows in an unfavorable situation, an unfavorable way. And the demigods would condition the air according to his requirements. So this was the super refinement he had achieved in controlling the whole cosmic whole universe. Such was his control, and he would look at Earth a little unfavorably, and she would produce whatever is necessary, even though whether it is season or not. That's the whole endeavor, trying to become independent or do something which is against the law of nature. Trying to thoroughly understand nature, and once understood, exploit it for sense gratification. That's the underlying endeavor of a materialistic, trying to become independent. But then, it's like, even though he prepares a very nice bowl of sweet rice, there's always some sand in it. And that sand is his frustration at being able to do it perfectly. The only perfect person is Krishna. Whatever he does, Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate. He's perfect and complete, and all his emanations are perfect and complete. They just do what exactly it is meant for. And trying to understand and live with that perfect plan, depending on the Lord ultimately for perfection, is the perfection of life. But somehow, this mentality, this deep-rooted mentality, is to, without depending on Him, trying to do the same thing. And that's like, as Prabhupada explains in this purport, or Rahuguna is being explained by Jadbharat, is like climbing a mountain. Not ordinary mountain, the Himalayan mountain. almost 99.9% is a failure. That means 0.1% are successful, 0.01% are successful. That 0.01% also think they are successful. But after reaching there, they realize that even though I could achieve it, ultimately it's a failure. Therefore, it is 10%. But 99.9% fail actually. It's a fact. So many climb the Everest, try to climb the Everest. Only one or two. Therefore, their book name is there. Edmund Hillary and Tenzing Norgay or whatever. Somehow they are able to make it. So there are so many, I mean, all the impediments, the stringent laws of nature which go against their whimsical plan is compared to these thorns and pebbles, short or very sharp stones. Just imagine if you want to walk, everything is nice, the whole environment is nice, cool breeze blowing, and the beautiful greenery around. Everything is perfect according to what you want. And then you keep a feet and one thorn goes in. So only if this one thing could be adjusted, then everything will be alright. So try to adjust that, something else goes out of control. Hiranyakashipu. Everything he had adjusted. But there was one thorn under his own feet. And that was his 5-year-old, fragile, delicate, insignificant, seemingly materially, son. He was somehow like, he said, this fellow is like a thorn. Very symbolic. he compared him. He says, it's very nice. Is like a thorn tree in the forest of sandalwood tree. So Hiranyakashipu, for him, the whole world was like a sandalwood tree just because he had it under his control. But then, just when everything was around, he wanted to just rest against one tree. That tree happened to be a thorn tree. So there was one little thorn which makes the whole thing miserable. And he wanted to pluck out this thorn. So that is the mentality. Somehow or other, try to adjust. So the futility of that endeavor is so graphically, in various ways, in various, by various great realized souls, in various circumstances, is expressed. It's just like Bhagavatam is just like a delicious meal. Ultimately, there are few ingredients. You have rice, you have dal, you have. But there are so many ways it can be cooked, and wonderful varieties can be made. Similarly, there are few truths. Dashamula Tattva. Very few truths. But the same truth, by various great souls, is explained in various ways, which is the Srimad Bhagavatam. It reveals the fact as it is. The combination may vary, but the essence is the same. So, here it is being explained the same way, that the futility of trying to become independent of the material, independent of the Lord, in trying to make this world sukhalayam shashvatam. Therefore, it is said that gradually, of course, the whole idea is to gradually detach from this material conception of life and take to spiritual. The whole Varnashram system is designed in such a way to gradually push a person to the complete point of ultimate and complete dependence on the will of the Supreme Lord. Mam ekam sharanam raja. To take complete shelter of the Supreme Lord. Taking shelter means completely becoming dependent on the mercy of the Lord. As long as there are so many facilities, there is naturally to take shelter of those facilities. So, panchashordham vanam tyajet. Param Brajet. So it's been designed in such a way, okay, in a bona fide way, purify your desires in such a way that gradually you come to the point of ultimately taking shelter. Vanam Brajet. Vanam Brajet means not going to the forest simply. Because even monkeys live in the forest. And they are also like naked, living under different trees, eating fruits and nuts. But then they see the she monkey and immediately they get agitated. So, Prahlad Maharaj is explaining that Sada samudvigna dhyam asadgrahat. What is the problem? What is the problem with this material plan for happiness? It says, Sada samudvigna dhyam. You will always be in anxiety because something will go wrong. Because it is meant to go wrong. It's been designed to go wrong. Specifically designed by the Lord to go wrong. For any other plan other than what His plan is. So, Sada samudvigna dhyam. Why? Asat grahat. We have held on to something asat, temporary, and hoping against hope that that will be permanently give us shelter. Only Sat can give us shelter. Sat means eternal. And Asat is something temporary. As long as we are under a temporary roof, there is always anxiety. What if it collapses? So Sada, so he immediately diagnoses. Prahlad diagnoses. My father, everything you are thinking that this is going to give you shelter, but I tell you, but still you are in anxiety. That's because you have held on to something which is temporary, including your own body, which you think, trying against, hoping against hope, to make it eternal and permanent. It's not possible. Therefore, this is the root of your anxiety. Hitvatma patam grihamanda koopam. Give up this endeavor to make a material adjustment to become happy. Vanam gataha yad harim ashrayet. Take shelter, completely become dependent and under all circumstances on whatever is arranged by the Lord. The Lord's arrangement, whatever for us is the best, He's arranging. So we just have to accept that plan, become dependent, and just take shelter under all circumstances. And that is the process of Varnashram system. And that's what Prahlad Maharaj is saying. Therefore, Srimati Kunti Devi, when she was making her prayers to Krishna as he was going away to Dwarka, she knew she was the queen mother of the emperor of the whole planet Earth. Everything was under her control. And that emperor of the Earth was completely subordinate to her will. Whatever she desired, they would do it. She didn't even see. When Arjuna said, I have got some gift, share it amongst yourself. And they followed it perfectly without even questioning, oh, you should have seen the gift, actually see it and, you know, change your will. So obedient. And she was the mother of the emperor of the whole. But still, in that position, she still prays to Krishna that it's all because of your merciful glance. Kevayam nama rupabhyam. He says, all this that we have today, is absolutely insignificant. Everything will go away. If just like the soul leaves the body, all the senses become useless. She had this realization. And therefore she says, Vipada santuta asatvat. Better to put us in a situation where we actually realize our position as completely dependent on your mercy under all circumstances. What is Vipada? One devotee very nicely described. What is calamity? Calamity means too many things moving too swiftly against our natural course. That is a calamity. Things are anyway going to be destroyed. The body is anyway going to be destroyed. But if something unexpectedly, much before what it is said, something happens, then it's called a calamity. So if that's what makes us realize our dependent nature on you, man by constitution, the jiva is actually dependent on the Lord for all its fulfillment of desires. Nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam. So whatever situation makes us realize that, that's the mercy of the Lord. Whether it is in happiness or distress, whatever. Whatever makes, mercy means to make us realize what our constitutional position is. The constitutional position of the Lord, constitutional position of the soul, whatever makes us realize, that is a mercy. In whatever way it comes. And then she prays, after doing all this, knowing her dependence on the Lord, now that everything is comfortable, now are you going away? But if you go away from our life, then we are absolutely finished. And therefore she says, my Lord, please don't go away. Now that everything is comfortable, complacency may creep in. Please don't go away. But then she realizes what kind of a prayer I have made. And therefore she immediately says, Atha Vishvesha Vishvatman Vishwamurte Swakeshume Sneha Pasham Imam Chindi Dridham Pandushu Vrishnishu. O Lord of the universe, soul of the universe, O personality of the form of the universe, please therefore sever my tie of affection for my kinsmen, the Pandavas and the Vrishnis. Prabhupada explains her dilemma. Now she is praying for protection of the Pandavas, and now she is praying, Pandushu Vrishnishu, cut away this affection of mine from my own family members. Why this duality? She's asking for protection, then she's asking. Prabhupada writes so nicely, a pure devotee of the Lord is ashamed to ask anything in self-interest from the Lord. But the householder are sometimes obliged to ask favors from the Lord, being bound by the tie of family affection. Srimati Kunti Devi was conscious of this fact, and therefore she prayed the Lord to cut off the affectionate tie from her own kinsmen, the Pandavas and the Vrishnis. Because she saw partiality. Because from her paternal side, she was connected to the Vrishnis, where Krishna was about to leave and go there to visit them. And from her own side, her own sons, the Pandavas. So she asked, I mean, this is the dynamics of the prayer. She's praying on the dependence, and immediately she's also feeling, what nonsense, what kind of a partial prayer I have made. Because Krishna is Vishwatman. He is the soul and life and soul of every living entity, and they are also pure devotees, completely dependent on the mercy of the Lord, and Krishna has been away for such a long time, they are also equally dependent, they are also eager to see Krishna. And I am just telling him, stay back, stay back, stay here. This partiality is due to duality. And duality arises due to material conception. That's why, like Dhritarashtra, classical case, Mamaka Pandavas Chaiva. So she could see self-interest. So as long as any situation that makes this self-interest, actually, of course, she was not in that way self-interested at all. She understood her dependence on Krishna. She understood the dependence, and she knew the power of Krishna, wherever he is. But still, that's the nature of a devotee. But the more cleansing of the heart takes place, just like when the more you clean a place, even a small dirt becomes conspicuous. It stands out. Similarly, Kunti, making such exalted prayers, which even the great Paramahamsas sing, since 5,000 years, all of them are glorifying each of these prayers as very pure, coming from a pure heart out of selfless love. But still, that's her feeling. She says, no, I'm making a partial prayer. Therefore, cut off this tie of family affection from Pandavas and Vishnu. The feeling that they are mine, and don't go there. He says, cut off this feeling. Krishna was equally related to both the families. Both the families required the Lord's help, because both were dependent devotees of the Lord. Srimati Kunti Devi wished Sri Krishna to remain with her sons, the Pandavas. But by his doing so, her paternal house will be bereft of the benefit. All these partialities troubled the mind of Kunti, and therefore she desired to cut off the affectionate tie. And then Prabhupada writes a very wonderful explanation. He says, a pure devotee cuts off the limited ties of affection for his family and widens his activities of devotional service for all forgotten souls. The typical example is the band of six Goswamis who followed the path of Lord Chaitanya. All of them belong to the most enlightened and cultured rich families of the higher castes. But for the benefit of the mass of population, they left their comfortable homes and became mendicants. To cut off the family affection means to broaden the field of activities. Without doing this, no one can be a qualified Brahmana, as a Brahmana, a king, a public leader, or a devotee of the Lord. So cutting off family affection actually means gradually broadening the field of activity. This is what actually cutting off means. So he is giving the example of the six Goswamis. Tyaktva turunam ashesha mandalapati shrenim sada tuchhavat bhutva. In that service, when in the service, if these things become an obstacle, hindrance, then that becomes a limiting factor. So it says that limiting factor cut off the tie. So in the broadening of service, anything that comes as an obstacle is actually a limiting factor. And therefore she says cut off this. This is limiting from actually surrendering to your will rather than to my own will. So bhutva dina ganesha kau karunaya kaupina kanthashritav gopi bhavara samratab dilahari kallola magnamuho. And actually when it is given up, then the pleasure that is experienced is million times more than the pleasure of trying to hold back. But many a times, because of weakness of the heart, a person is not able to give it up. He doesn't have the strength to do it himself, or he's unsure, he's uncertain. Then he prays to the Lord. Krishna, I am saying, but I don't know whether I mean it. I can't do it. You do it for me. And when a devotee makes such a prayer, Krishna takes that prayer very seriously. Such personalities as a Brahmana, a devotee, a king, or a public leader must be very broad-minded in discharging their respective duties. So as leaders, a Brahmana, a real Brahmana means a leader. A devotee, a king, or a public leader must be very broad-minded in discharging their respective duties. So actually cutting off affection means becoming more broad-minded, becoming impartial. Srimati Kunti Devi was conscious of this fact, and being weak, she prayed to be free from such bondage of family affection. The Lord is addressed as the Lord of the universe or the Lord of the universal mind, indicating his all-powerful ability to cut the hard knot of family affection. Therefore, it is sometimes experienced that the Lord, out of his special affinity towards a weak devotee, breaks the family affection by force of circumstances arranged by his all-powerful energy. By doing so, he causes the devotee to become completely dependent on him and thus clears the path for his going back to Godhead. Prabhupada is writing from his own personal example. He had received instruction from his spiritual master to preach. Several times in a dream he saw his Guru Maharaj coming. Then through his god brother it was told. But then somehow he was feeling that I am incapable. Great dear sannyasis, they have gone and they were not very, what am I? I am insignificant. How can I do? But because he desperately wanted to fulfill and please his guru in whatever way, he just trying to do best, he did his best. It's not that he was lazy. He was fully active. That's the nature of a devotee. He does his best and then leaves the rest. Even though he's endeavoring fully, he's in all circumstances absolutely dependent on the mercy of the Lord. And the Lord sees that this is an obstacle and he actually removed it. You know, he created a circumstance in which he was forced, literally, Prabhupada, with gratitude to his Guru Maharaj, with tears in his eyes, he said, it was very horrible. I couldn't imagine how I could give up. But then Krishna arranged in such a way that he was literally forced, pushed away from that circumstance, which was limiting in broadening his activities to spread the mission of Krishna consciousness all over the world. But he whimsically did not plan. He did his best and simply left the rest for Krishna to do the needful. And Krishna in right time, because had he done it before, had some other god brothers, had some other arrangements were made, his actual glory would not have been known. Krishna arranged in such a way that when he was completely in a helpless situation, from its bodily point of view, from any point of view, at that time, he just did the needful. So that his true glories, his absolute dependence on the mercy of the Lord, could be glorified a millionfold. So, celebrating the disappearance day of Srila Rupa Goswami today. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, in one beautiful verse, glorifies the actual position of Rupa Goswami. He says, Vrindavaniyam rasakeli vartam kalena luptam nija shaktim uktah sancharya rupe vyatanot punascha prabhur vidhav prag iva loka srishtim. Before the creation of this cosmic manifestation, the Lord enlightened the heart of Lord Brahma with the details of the creation and manifested the Vedic knowledge. In exactly the same way, the Lord, being anxious to revive Vrindavan pastimes of Lord Krishna, impregnated the heart of Rupa Goswami with spiritual potency. By this potency, Srila Rupa Goswami could revive the activities of Krishna in Vrindavan, activities almost lost to memory. In this way, he spread Krishna consciousness throughout the world. Beautiful example. In the beginning of creation, every living entity was in a sleeping condition. But it was not the constitutional position of a living entity to sleep, but to be active and dance with the Lord. So therefore, he gave the knowledge to Brahma. He enlightened the heart of Brahma with the details of creation and manifested the Vedic knowledge. Two things. Through Brahma, he gave the details of creation to create this a facility and the knowledge how to use that facility. two things Brahma was given. He was empowered to give a facility for all sleeping soul to awaken and start acting. And how to act, the knowledge of Vedic scriptures was given. Similarly, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, people were sleeping to the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And therefore, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu specifically empowered Rupa Goswami of the six, especially Rupa Goswami, with two things amongst all other instructions. One was to manifest Vrindavan and then give literatures whereby people can actually know how to take shelter of Vrindavan. That is Bhakti Rasamrit Sindhu, with the essence. Actually, teachings of Rupa Goswami is nothing but from the conditioned living entity, two kinds of living entities, eternally Baddha, eternally Mukta, from there, you know, different 84 lakh, 80 lakh species, from their human form, gradually refining Karma Kanda, then Jnana Kanda, then ultimately Bhakti, and then, you know, purifying, refining to, and ultimately Rupa Goswami's instructions, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instruction to Rupa Goswami ends with the glory of Madhurya Prema. Anarpita charinchirat karunaya avatirna kalau samarpaitum unnata ujjula sam subhakti shriyam. To subhakti shriyam, the opulence of his own devotion to himself. Ultimate. So Rupa Goswami was empowered to do that. And Srila Prabhupada very humbly writes in the purport the same thing. On the order of his guru to bring all the people from all over the world, there has to be a place where people can actually take shelter. But that place will be empty if people are not trained how to take shelter. That shelter will become people will run away to take shelter elsewhere. So he manifested actually Vrindavan. We know he's a bona fide follower of Rupa Goswami by the symptoms given by Krishnadas of Rupa Goswami. That Rupa Goswami was empowered to manifest Vrindavan and give literatures of how to purify one's existence and take shelter of Vrindavan. So Krishna Prabhupada writes, so we have opened Krishna Balaram temple in Vrindavan. Let's read the words of Prabhupada. Yeah. Yeah. There is no benefit in transferring from one forest to another. It's all different varieties of the same forest. The forest of material enjoyment. People are trying to take so many, you know, artificial, creating a forest-like atmosphere. But then, one must go to Vrindavan. One must go to the Vrindavan forest and take shelter of Govinda. That will make one happy. The International Society for Krishna Consciousness is therefore constructing a Krishna Balaram temple to invite its members as well as outsiders to come and live peacefully in a spiritual atmosphere. That is Srila Prabhupada's vision for Vrindavan. That will help one become elevated to the transcendental world and return home back to Godhead. Exactly what Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says. By the potency of Srila Rupa Goswami, by this potency Srila Rupa Goswami could revive the activities of Krishna in Vrindavan. Activities almost lost to memory. In this way, he spread Krishna consciousness throughout the world. So, we are very fortunate to be connected to the most empowered follower of Rupa Goswami, real Rupanuga, because of his strong desire, how do we know that Rupa Goswami is the most intimate of all the six Goswamis? Of course, all the Goswamis are equally dear, but still, why we are called Rupanugas, not any other? Rupa Goswami is the leader. The proof is, when Mahaprabhu sang, you know, revealed his heart, his core of his heart, in a very seemingly mundane poetry in front of Lord Jagannath, of separation from Krishna, though in seeing Krishna, still being separate from Krishna, which is the culmination of actually Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy, Rupa Goswami understood that and wrote it down. And he was shocked. Mahaprabhu was shocked. He said, how did he know the deepest recess of my heart's feeling? How did he know? Sarup Damodar Goswami said, because you have showered your causeless mercy on this person. Completely empowered him. And Prabhupada humbly writes in one purport that when he wrote, absolute essential, thou hast proved, impersonal calamity thou hast removed. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was surprised how this boy, how this Abhay Charan has actually understood the core of my heart. And he would show it to everyone. See what he has written. See what he has written. As Mahaprabhu showed this composition to Ramananda Rai and all his associates. By this, we can know who is that person who is actually empowered by the Lord. And similarly, that same mood was imbibed by Srila Prabhupada, and he broadened his activity to bring the whole world, actually, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi, which is practically prominent all over the world. And he brought them, gave them a facility. Potentially has given us this facility. A place in Vrindavan, his own home, a facility to know the glories and actually how to create. Which was what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's only instruction was to the Goswamis. Manifest Vrindavan, give the bhakti literatures. And Srila Prabhupada did that. He manifested Vrindavan. Actually now, all over the world, people know the glories of Vrindavan. Otherwise, even probably us, before coming to Krishna consciousness, nobody knew. And secondly, he gave literature by which we could actually appreciate what does it mean to actually be in Vrindavan, go to Vrindavan and take shelter of Shriman Divyad Vrindaranya Kalpa Dhruma Adha Srimad Ratnagara Simhasanastav Shri Shri Radha Srila Govinda Devav Preshthalibhi Sevimano Smarami. This is the truth. Actually, the whole cosmic manifestation will dissolve, annihilate. But the Lord, Radha and Krishna sitting in the groves of Vrindavan, being swung by the alibhi, all the gopis. This is truth. And when we take shelter of that truth, and that is, then we are in proper shelter. Otherwise, these kind of pricks and thorns and small stones will keep cracking our feet. We can never attain happiness. Hare Krishna. Any questions, comments, clarifications? Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Rupa Goswami Pad ki jai. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Thai Go Premanandi.